Time for our Tuesday morning conversation. John Wegman's here from Weld Riley Attorneys at 199 Oneida Drive right here in Tumwa. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right. It's almost seeming like it's almost a year since Weld Riley has opened up the office here in Tumwa. We're getting close to a year now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so where's this last year gone?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, I tell you, it's really flying by, that's for sure. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but we're sure glad to have you here in town. How has the reception been since you've been here in Tumwa, John?
It has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, good.
We've had great success with the Tumwa market here. People always stopping in.
Okay.
So, it's been a wonderful experience.
Bottom line is, you got an open door. You're here to help.
Exactly.
It always helps to ask questions before you start doing things on your own, which is when we often get in trouble as human beings, as grown-ups, don't we?
Yes, that is definitely a problem.
Yes, so with that kind of information in mind here, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about recreational cabins and property, things like that. We've got a lot of that up here in the Tumwa area up north here in general. So let's just set up a scenario here. A family has a cabin. They've been coming up to the cabin for years. Mom and dad no longer able to maintain that cabin for one reason or another. Maybe they're still here, maybe they're not here anymore, but the family wants to keep the cabin. They want to protect the cabin. They don't want government getting their greedy hands on our properties and things like that. So with all that in mind, we're here to talk about how to protect these family cabins, recreational property. We're going to specifically talk about that today, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what's the best advice for the family? Let's say that mom and dad are still alive, and let's go that route first, and then we'll talk about after mom and dad passes. So I'm thinking there are things we can do before they pass, and so that's why I want to set it up this way. Mom and dad are still alive. We've got this family property. How do we protect it? How do we keep it in the family?
Well, this is all about planning. It's all about being proactive and determining what the parents want to do in advance. The biggest thing, first of all, is having a discussion among the family members as to who's interested in keeping the family property.
Okay.
Quite often we will have families where mom and dad think that, well, we've had the cabin for, 40 years. We want to make sure the kids get it and the kids are able to experience, the recreation like we have over the years. And come to find out none of the kids want it.
Okay.
So, I mean, there that happens.
Yes.
Quite often... And it doesn't happen very, very often, but quite often it's just worth having that conversation to start with.
Okay.
To see if advanced planning is necessary. But typically then what would happen is the parents would sit down, talk with the kids, make sure that everybody's on board. And what we recommend doing and what we've done a lot of is forming a limited liability company, or LLC, to handle that family cabin and that property.
Okay, let me back up just a little bit here. So the family, none of them want the property. The easiest thing to do is call a real estate agent, right? Sell it and then figure out how to split up the proceeds, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Or if mom and dad want to obviously keep it while they are still alive.
Okay.
That's part of their estate plan.
Okay.
But you don't have to take that next step of transitioning the property over to the kids. If nobody wants it, the property is going to be sold.
Okay, and so the kids may or may not want it anymore. Mom and dad are going to be gone. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but I thought I had to back up to get that cleared first.
Yeah, not a problem at all.
Okay.
Obviously, with that scenario, if nobody wants it, mom and dad would want to have a trust set up or something to be able to avoid the probate process or transfer on death deeds or some mechanism in their own estate plan in order to transfer that property free and clear of probate.
Got it.
But that is a probate and estate planning
exactly.
discussion issue.
But we're going to concentrate on the family keeping it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we often do is we will create what is called a LLC, or limited liability company. It's a cabin LLC. And part of the function of doing that is not only to start getting ownership transferred over, but it is also to put things in such as making sure the cabin stays in the family. And we'll talk about marital interests and everything else in a second here. But also what the duties are of all the members when it comes to management of the cabin, upkeep, expenses, and as well as buy-sell. So, if you have four siblings and one of them wants to get out, what happens? Basically, you don't want to have everybody's feet held to the fire.
Right.
So the LLC, typically, we will fund that, or we will set that up. And mom and dad are the owners of the LLC to start with. They contribute their interest, their property, the deed, into the LLC. It's a tax-free exchange. and that kind of gets the ball rolling.
Okay.
And then over time, it could be done right away. It can be done over time. Shares are transferred, or membership units in that LLC are transferred down to the kids. Oftentimes, control is a question. The mom and dad are like, well, this is my property. I built it. I paid for it. I want to make sure that I get to keep doing what I want when I want the cabin. So we will build language in oftentimes that allows mom and dad, as long as they are alive and cognizant, that they are the managers, they're in control.
Right. What they say goes.
Even if they have 1% interest, as long as they're around, what they say goes.
Got it. Understood.
So that kind of helps bridge the gap a little bit on the control issue and making sure that, you know, it's their property.
And it helps mom and dad stay in control and feeling good about the situation, too, while they're still around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then one of the next things we look at is what kind of information do we put in the operating agreement? The operating agreement is the document that kind of governs how the LLC is run. We put in things such as, you know, I referenced the buy-sell agreement.
Right.
There's always situations where one sibling wants out. What do we do? How do we handle that? If you don't have an agreement in place, that one sibling could say, you know what, I want out. You guys have to buy me out. I want $1 million for my share.
Okay.
The cabin's worth $500,000.
Right. Yeah. Not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. If you don't have an agreement in place, frankly, the member that wants to get out could do what's called a partition action, file a suit in Lincoln County or Oneida County Circuit Court, and basically compel the property to be sold, and everybody's out.
Now, let's say, okay, we've got this situation where multiple siblings, only one wants out. You tell me that he can possibly get his way against the grain of his other siblings.
Possibly, if you don't have buy-sell provisions built into your agreement.
Got it.
So this is where we will either go with an appraised value, or quite often on these family properties, we use the estimated tax value, estimated real market value on the tax bill. It's a stated number. You get it every year. It's there's nothing to argue about. The tax bill says what the tax bill says.
Right, right.
Also, what that is it's usually a value of less than what fair market is.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a penalty to the person that wants to get out.
Sure, right. If they're going in saying, well, sometimes life happens, so you don't want to judge the person that's getting out. They may have very good reasons for getting out. So it just goes to show, John, the plan in advance needs to be agreed to by all, and then if life happens and something changed for one or others, they're just going to have to live with the deal they signed, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
And it's the reason why you do this all up front is, you know, you hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the scenario where one sibling wants to get out, not only is there a stated price, often we will put in terms. In other words, we don't have to pay you in cash up front. We can pay you out over 10 years.
Okay.
15 years.
Sure.
There can be discounts. It's if you're getting out just because you just don't want to do this anymore, we're going to take your fair market value of what you would get, and we're going to knock another 25% off the price just for the inconvenience of us having to buy you out.
Yeah.
So there's penalties you can build in to make sure the property stays contiguous and within the family.
Not to mention the penalties of very awkward Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners together.
Usually by the time this kind of stuff gets around, there already have been awkward Thanksgivings and Christmases.
Yeah, and so probably not getting those get-togethers anymore. And so, but, I mean, it's this serious stuff here, John. Family can be together through their whole life, and they have something, a legal issue like this, just separate them. Everybody go their separate ways, and that's ugly, it's terrible, and it's a negative that nobody really wants to face, I don't think.
It happens a lot.
Really, a lot.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, that makes my heart hurt a little bit because families need to stick together no matter what. So it all comes down to a plan.
Yep.
What does it take to get a plan going here? If somebody hears us here this morning and after we're done talking, they call their siblings and say, you know what? I just heard a lawyer on the radio talking that we need to get this plan going or we're going to be facing some issues here. First of all, take us through that process step by step. The first time somebody calls Weld Riley and said, I heard you on the radio. I don't want this happening to my family. We need protection. We need a plan. How does it work now?
Well, what we do is we get some basic information to start with, obviously, some client information, how many people are going to be involved, how many siblings. We'd like to sit down with mom and dad and or the rest of the family members and say, okay, where's the property located? What's your desire for continuity? How do you want to have this transferred over to the next generation? Have you had that discussion that everybody's actually interested? And that kind of starts the ball rolling a little bit. And then it's a matter of getting some of the real estate records to be able to, you know, get deeds put together in order to put the property into the LLC. And then preparing a draft of the operating agreement that all the family members can look at and say, okay, I like this, I don't like this, I'd like to change something, and kind of have everybody involved.
And it would sure make it a lot easier if everybody was all together here in the same area, but chances are geographically families spread out. So is this something where the family needs to come together, all show up, or how do you take care of this with folks spread out all over the country?
Well, we can do it various ways. I mean, we can do it all. We can email stuff out. We can do Zoom meetings or Teams meetings.
Oh, yeah. Zoom is out there now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I have ones that I've done where, you know, one sibling lives in Texas, another one lives in Indiana or Oklahoma, and then it's all remote contact, and you circulate the documents around for signature.
I imagine with your experience, you've probably seen these plans work out well just the way they are laid out, but I'm sure there's probably been some negative things where things can get ugly pretty quick, and again, to mitigate that, having a good plan, usually will that good plan, if things do get ugly, will that always hold up the way it was always set up, or is there ever going to be any kind of other extenuating circumstances where this whole thing could get blown up because somebody's unhappy?
Well, I never say never.
Okay, good point. Yeah,
but yeah, if done properly, the agreement should hold up to any kind of a contest.
Okay.
Likewise, you know, one thing I did want to add in is one thing that also causes angst, especially in these kind of situations with family properties, is people not holding up their end of the bargain.
Okay.
You know, everybody has that one sibling possibly that, you know, they show up and they enjoy it. You know, in June, July, and August, but suddenly they disappear in September, yeah. October, or aren't there in April and May.
Mm-hmm.
hunting season, for example. You know, we do it with hunting properties as well. You know, there's always, you know, most people have a work weekend built in. Sometime prior to the season that says, okay, we all need to come up and we need to brush stuff out, we need to clean up stuff, you know, check blinds and stands. We put things in the documents that say, if you don't help out with those kind of things, you can't use the property until you do.
Okay.
It makes people buy in, and it makes people get along.
But who polices that? Because somebody may think that they're coming up and chipping in, but the rest of the family says, that ain't chipping in. That ain't even close to chipping in. But the person thinks that they are, so how do you get around that?
That's all the members, or all the family members, kind of regulating it themselves.
I mean, okay.
It's a matter of having discussions and open communication.
Okay.
Usually where it comes in is there's absolutely no buy-in. You know, it's one person that literally cruises in on Memorial Day weekend and says, all right, I'm here to use the place for the next three
Got
months,
it.
And then Labor Day says, see you next year.
Right.
That's where it causes some of the issues. And likewise,
okay.
We also put in, requirements for helping to pay the expenses. So, I mean, again, you don't want any free riders. You don't want people that are owners of the property but don't like to pitch in to help keep the property operating. So, like taxes, insurance,
sure,
utility
right,
bills,
right.
Those
yep.
kind of things. We put in the agreements that if you're not paying your fair share, again, until you pay your fair share, you can't use the property.
And it would work inversely as well, that if one person's doing all the work and the rest of them aren't, it's just an inverse situation and it all works the same way.
Exactly.
Got it. So having the plan, first of all, make sure you have a plan while mom and dad are still around. But what if mom and dad are gone now and there was no plan and the family still wants to keep things together? Is there any hope for that? Is there some new paperwork? Is there new protections that they can take advantage of at that point?
Well, exactly. Yeah, there is. So mom and dad aren't here anymore, but let's say there are three siblings, all who want to keep the property. I'm assuming that when mom and dad passed away, they transferred their interest one-third, one-third, one-third,
mm-hmm.
each one of those kids. Those kids can each take their one-third interest, form this LLC, contribute their interest in the property into that LLC, and move forward with the three siblings as owners. We keep everything. Think of a tree, okay? We keep family branches.
Yeah.
So as you get roots down, each family branch will always have one-third ownership.
Okay.
So one sibling could have five kids. One sibling could have one kid. When those siblings pass away, that one kid owns one-third.
Right.
And the five over here...
Split
that one-third.
Yeah.
So, it keeps everything within the family and keeps everything divided.
And what if the majority want out and there's one that just wants to keep it? Because that's another scenario I think that could exist. Everybody who says, no, we just don't want to deal with it. One says, you know what, my childhood memories are here. I love fishing on that lake. I'm not giving this up. Then what?
Well, usually in the agreement, there are different voting mechanisms where it's majority rule or supermajority rule, you know, 50%. Okay. You could put, if we want to sell the property, 75% of the people or the votes have to vote to sell. We try to steer away from unanimous at all times because you get deadlock.
Exactly. And this is where you guys as attorneys come in. Now I know oftentimes when you watch the shows on TV with attorneys, they're referred to as counselors. One of my favorite shows of all time, Hill Street Blues. It was always, hey, counselor. And you guys really have to be counselors like within a family unit to try to make the best outcome happen. You must have some of those skills. You have to have some of those skills.
Oh, definitely. Helping families resolve some issues amongst themselves in order to get to a certain point to get that end goal. Happens every day.
Yeah. Well, a lot of terrible things can happen if a plan isn't there. When a family's been together their whole life, one little thing like this, one little legal loophole kind of thing like this could really mess a whole family up. And so have the plan. It shouldn't be too tough to get buy-in from the whole family, especially if mom and dad are running the things. Okay, kids, come on over for dinner. We're going to have a serious talk, and we're all going to leave here smiling and happy at the end of this talk. So start the plan that way.
That is the best way to start the conversation.
Yeah.
It's when you're talking about mom and dad and transferring things down to the next generation, I mean, unfortunately, it's going to happen to everybody. So it's better to have that discussion as to what you want to have happen to these assets while everybody's around and speaking with each other and in good terms.
What if a scenario exists that mom and dad are in some kind of caregiving situation? They can't make a lot of decisions on their own anymore, but this property is still sitting out there. Then what happens?
That kind of gets into a whole different ball of wax.
Okay.
When we're talking about possible Medicaid planning, government assistance for health care, the state being able to come back and look at assets to determine whether or not there are assets available for payment of state assistance. The property could possibly be at risk if it wasn't taken care of properly.
Okay.
Prior to mom and dad requiring the care. It's kind of hard to go backwards.
So it's kind of sometimes it's tough to ask the parents, okay, mom and dad, what do you have planned for the property here someday? Because you're not going to be here forever. That can be very awkward. And so, but it's somebody's got to take the first step. If it's not mom and dad, some of the kids have to, you know, do it. They just have to.
Well, last time I checked, I don't think anybody's escaped the inevitable.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a discussion that has to take place. And it's just a question of having a frank and honest discussion.
Yeah.
And sitting down and say, hey, but what are your thoughts?
Well, a good thing to do is call the attorneys at Weld Riley here in Tomahawk, 199 Oneida Drive. John may be one of the people that you talk to. I'm going to assume that you're not the only guy in the office that can handle this kind of stuff.
I am not. We have a couple that would be able to help out.
Good deal. And so, John, if anybody's got any other issues with their family property, I would assume that you'll welcome a call anytime.
Most definitely.
What's the number to call you at?
224-3411.
Will that get the job done?
That will.
Got it.
I was going to say, I didn't know the Tomahawk number off the top of my head, so thank you.
But that's okay. 224-3411 here in these parts. If you Google Weld Riley, you'll get a whole bunch of numbers, but there's several offices around the area. But here in Tomahawk, 224-3411 for Weld Riley attorneys. So families that plan together, stick together.
Very well said.
Good, because I'm out of time. I can't say much more here, John, today. Again, John, appreciate your time here. We're sure glad to have Weld Riley attorneys with us here in our Tomahawk and available for anybody that wants to ask any kind of questions, whether it's about this, any other legal topic. Call 224-3411 for Weld Riley attorneys. John, have a good rest of your day today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You as well, and have a wonderful Memorial Day.
That's right. That's coming up, isn't it?
Yep.
Family's getting together already this coming weekend.
Exactly.
John, thank you a whole bunch.
Thanks.